To run the show open since we were just doing we have fun. I didn't say I was good.
We do have fun. It's all about having fun anyway. That's what it's really about.
Yeah, I want to watch it. Like, I pulled it up, one of the other ones that I did. I will pull it up on YouTube and watch it and not see what you're doing, and then maybe next week come and watch from behind you.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Hey, we're live right here.
Oh,
on the Outlandist Barbecue Show. We don't have an announcer, so we just go live. But that's what makes this thing such a beautiful thing.
I love it.
Dave Hooker, Pete Branton with us. The Outlandist Barbecue Show is brought to you by Michelin Tires, because so much is riding on your tires. Your family, your friends, trust your car to only one tire, and that's Michelin. Also, we're brought to you by the Midnight Oil Ultra Premium Gasoline. The only gasoline with 93 octane with no ethanol, only available here at the Midnight Oil in Ultua. Plus, we have both grades. We have regular and mid-grade non-ethanol fuels available as well. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, right out here at the gas pumps at the Midnight Oil. And we're also brought to you by our good friends at Budget Blinds. For all your window treatment needs, Budget Blinds, 344-7393, 344-7393, Budget Blinds. If you know, nothing makes a room nicer than plantation shutters.
Oh, man, you're right.
Budget Blind does it better and least and more, a better value than anybody. Budget Blinds right here in Chattanooga, 344-7393. Ask for Sam, our special guest, Pete Branton. I'm Steve Ray. Our special guest is Dave Hooker. Dave, give a big wave to everybody there.
How's it going?
Dave is not remote. He's actually sitting right across the table from us. I'll give you that, but we don't have room. I got to figure out how to get everybody, like they do on ESPN, get everybody around the table, but we'll do a split screen, and that'll work just as good. Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports. Unique thing that you're doing, Dave. Website will be going live, hopefully May.
Yeah, we're looking at right in there. So we've got to put together a lot of things at this point. So we're really close. And I would say it's just going to be a matter of a couple, 3 weeks. And we'll be providing some content for UT fans out there at a perfect time.
And this will be a site to go to for news, Tennessee football, of course, other sports as well. Other colleges in the SEC, or is it going to be pretty much just Tennessee?
It'll be primarily Tennessee is the goal, of course. And then what I would like to do is be able to bring in other voices. The thing I've always enjoyed about broadcasting and radio is talking to other people. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily being a Stephen A. Smith and hearing myself talk. It's right. Talking to other people, learning about them. So that's what I want to bring to the table. So I'll be visiting with current players. I know it sounds weird, but with NIL, you know, we can do that now. I'll be busy with Chris Landry on Chalk Talk, brought to you by right here at Owl's Nest.
Exactly.
And Midnight Oil.
Available on Tuesdays, every Tuesday right here on the Owl's Nest Barbecue Facebook page. Dave Hooker's background. Let's do a little bit of that real quick, David.
Okay.
From Knoxville.
Powell, actually. They just won the state title down the road.
Yes, they did.
So,
Wonderful little community just north of Knoxville. Journalistic background. You're diverse. How did it all started? It started at the little Powell shopper when you were in like ninth grade,
or the hall shopper.
The hall shopper. Okay.
No, we didn't have a Powell shopper. At least they wouldn't pay me to write back then. So it was I mean, that's essentially where it started. And worked for a small AM station for a short time. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody that's been in broadcasting kind of knows that, you know, it can be tough to start and get into that. And then kind of got a lucky break, worked my way up, worked in radio, and then worked for the Knoxville News Sentinel and did a radio show from 2005 to 2010. And went to ESPN, did radio here, and just love to talk to people, love to talk about sports, obviously. Mm-hmm. I love to talk about guy stuff. Love to talk about barbecue and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
but mainly a sports guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Dave, are you one of those guys that have the passion that you want to tell people about the event, you want to share it with them or tell them everything that surrounds the event?
That's a great way of asking that question, because what I want to do is tell somebody, the goal, I think, especially with the just hordes of media that are out there, I mean, there's now 50 people at practice, there used to be 5.
Absolutely.
So the goal is, through insight, either with Chris Landry on Chalk Talk or with some of the players that we'll visit with, give you a piece of information that you wouldn't have gotten anywhere else. Now, that being said, our main goal is not to break news. Our main goal is to provide our listeners, our viewers, whoever that might be, mm-hmm. with some insight into the game. And they know they're going to get that. Might we break news? Yes. Will we give insight? No question. So we're really excited. We've still got a full team that I haven't announced yet, mm-hmm. but we got a big group, so we're really excited.
You know, people like Dave, they always want to tell the story. You know, they want to either be there doing the play-by-play or doing the sideline reporting, or you have a need to tell the story that I'm here and I want to share it with you. That if you can't be here, you know, I always thought the best that ever did that was John Ward.
Oh yeah,
I know I'm a homer, but
another level. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he just told, he painted a picture, told the story about every Saturday during a UT football game, and you could sit home and you could imagine it. Even in basketball, when I first moved to Knoxville from Richmond, Virginia, listening to John Ward, you know, Rodney Woods comes across the timeline, and you could just see him holding that ball. Remember how he used to have a little leg kick?
Yeah.
You could just see him doing that. And he did such a good job of, I think he's the best that's ever done it. I really do. I think he's the best ever. I know we got Munson at Georgia. You got Jim Reynolds here at Chattanooga. That's great. But as far as painting that overall picture, I think John Ward was the best at it.
I'll say this about John Ward. Now, I grew up in Knoxville, mm-hmm. so I naturally would be biased. But I drove around a lot of times after, say, a Tennessee game, coming back to Knoxville, a noon mm-hmm. game or a 3:30 game. Yeah. And I heard other broadcasts driving through the South. And I don't want any other fans to get mad at me, but I agree with what you said. I think structure-wise, he was the best. Mm-hmm. He had just the right amount of homerism in him to me. You mm-hmm. want your guy that has a Tennessee power T on the check to be a bit of a homer.
He's got to be.
Yeah.
He's got to be.
But you don't want it over the top, and I'm not going to name names. But I do believe that. I think he was the perfect announcer, and I don't think I'm saying that just because I'm from Knoxville. I thought he was that good.
Eli Gold's pretty good, too.
Eli Gold's pretty good.
Eli Strong.
Pete's our resident Alabama fan.
Yeah, Eli's great.
Hey, the great thing is about me is I'm a diehard SEC fan. My son-in-law is a diehard Tennessee fan. So we enjoy actually watching games together. I went to my first time at Neyland Stadium this last year, too, was first game I'd ever been to Neyland Stadium with my son-in-law. I bought the tickets for it and had a great time. It was fabulous.
Awesome. Yeah, and it's been kind of one-sided with that Tennessee-Alabama game. I don't know.
Oh, it's only been 20 years, for God's sake.
It's not that bad.
Race rivalry in the South.
20 schminis, Steve. No, it's nothing. It's been one-sided. I don't know that changes anytime soon. I mean, I really appreciate and respect what Georgia has been able to do, but when I look at Alabama, I don't think they're going away. I don't see that.
Yeah, but
at all.
Tennessee is looking so good right now. I think they've got a great coach now. I think they've got a lot of things in the works. I think Tennessee's going to do very well this year. I'm hoping they are. Again, my son-in-law, he lives and breathes Tennessee football. Loves it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love their offense. I think Josh Heupel is the type of coach that Tennessee needs to overcome a talent disadvantage against mm-hmm. other teams like Alabama and Georgia. I think you've got to have, I don't want to use the word gimmick, that doesn't sound right, but you have to have a unique approach, let's use that term. And I think the high tempo for now.
You have to be hard to coach against.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it.
And you know, you talk about Alabama going away. Nicholas won 18 majors, finished second, 33 times? So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. He was always there. He was in the hunt a whole lot. Let's now we're going to delve deep into the sultry side of sports, the the we're going to get really deep. And Dave, and I don't want you to feel bad about answering these questions because they're going to surprise you, okay? And you're going to get uncomfortable. We're going to make you uncomfortable.
I like uncomfortable.
All right.
That makes me more comfortable.
First one. Who has the nicest press box in the SEC?
Oh, that's a great one. Okay. I'll go ahead and tell you, I have not been to Missouri and Texas A&M. So those were the two additions. Nicest press box in the SEC. Oh, are you looking for food?
All around experience.
All around experience, I would probably say LSU.
Really? Mm-hmm. And what makes it so much better than, say, Auburn?
Auburn, I believe, is the most underrated. I think Auburn is awesome. I think people that haven't gone to an Auburn game should go. I think it's fantastic. I was blown away at Auburn two or three times. And I think what I liked about LSU is it's an open press box. You know, Tennessee's closed because of weather. Mm-hmm. And it's really like you're watching on TV, to be real honest with you.
You watch a TV more than you watch it live anyway.
Yeah, you're doing this, and you're doing it, and you're looking up. And it's really quiet. I mean, you have to whisper if you talk to somebody next to you. So if you've got a little nugget of info, like, hey, that guy's playing, you know, cover two, mm-hmm. you kind of whisper because you don't want everybody else to know it.
Yeah.
And so I like the open press boxes. Now, that being said, the times I've been to LSU in Florida, which is also open and very loud, I love loud. I would say that's my favorite aspect of it. And both of those are very loud. They're also very hot. And
I can imagine.
And when you've been sitting there, especially the September games, mm-hmm. and when you're sitting there for 4 hours covering the game, and then you've got to write later, I know it sounds whiny for people that have a real job, but but when you have to sit there and write, and you've just had Cajun food, or you've had whatever Florida's serving, and that sweat starts to hit you, but it's a good miserable, is like the way I would put it. And
because you usually got to do a main story, then you got to throw a sidebar in there, and you're on deadline, and you've got an hour and a half to do it and make it work so it can get copyrighted and everything. It's an exciting job.
Yeah,
it's an exciting job.
It was a lot of fun. It did limit family time. There was a lot of that. My kids were different kids at the beginning of August to January at the end of the season. They had to have the strict dad back a little bit.
Yeah.
But, it was a great job. I've always loved what I've done. So, yeah, it's exciting.
It's college football. Who don't love college football?
I know. Huh? Look, Mommy, there's Daddy. He's up there. Best best food? LSU again?
LSU.
They do big boils, bringing the crawfish and the corn and everything. And
they do the
whip it, they don't pour it right out on a big table. On newspaper, do they?
No, they don't do that. They do like the gumbo, the etouffee, and it's all separate. Uh-huh. So it's all, I don't want to say casseroles, but kind of like casseroles. Yeah. You know, it's all separate, and you can have a little bit of each Cajun. And they ain't messing around. I mean, this is a lot. Some press box food, they're just throwing it in there. I ordered a Papa John's pizza one time at Domino's Stadium and Louisville one time because they didn't have any food.
Are you kidding?
No, they didn't appreciate that. But they didn't have any.
You'd appreciate being hungry either.
No, they didn't have any food for us. They had like.
Guess what? We're both mad, so we're equal.
But it was, that food at LSU. I was like, man, this is spicy and greasy, and we're gonna have to sit here and write. And I didn't care. I ate like three plates of it. Yeah, just tore it down.
Hey, we're talking with Dave Hooker, the purveyor of Off the Hook. Website for all your football coverage or all sports coverage at the University of Tennessee Vols, with insight and a lot of goings on over up on the hill, and you'll be able to go to that live hopefully in about 3 to 4 weeks at offthehooksports.com. And the reason we've got Dave here is Al's Nest Barbecue and Midnight Oil has partnered with Dave on Chalk Talk, where Dave and Chris Landry speak once a week. It's a little 15-minute segment, and it's packed with information. If you have not seen Chris Landry, wow,
nice stuff.
I mean, you talk about a guy with the pedigree. I mean, coaching, scouting, recruiting, knowledge, contacts. He's good, Dave. Those segments are really good. I'm really enjoying those.
He's one of those guys that knows more than he knows he knows.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he'll say absolutely.
He'll say things in passing. Sometimes I'm like, that's borderline breaking news.
Yeah. And to him, it's like, oh, well.
Yeah, he just mentioned it. So he'll be great on Tuesday, so people want to be sure and tune in, because he was actually an assistant coach for Bill Belichick, who, of course, dipped into Chattanooga with definitely the surprise
draft.
Cole Strange, Farragut from Knoxville. So
we're what does he say? We are nasty and mean. Is that how he described Cole Strange? So I said, all of us guys from Farragut are nasty and mean.
Yeah, that's right. But he is, I look forward to getting Chris Landry's thoughts on that pick, because, first of all, that's awesome for Cole. And if you think about it, where he was projected to where he was picked, that's a $7 million guarantee difference.
Yeah,
that's a game changer.
It's a life changer.
And what makes that so
changer, better word.
What makes that so unique? He was the 29th pick. First ball that went in the draft was number 49. So that's I mean, you talk about who would have ever predicted that a Tennessee Chattanooga player would go in the first round, and not till the second round, halfway midway, a Tennessee player would go.
Well, and who would have ever predicted, too, that he would have gone that high? I mean, with all the media coverage that we have now, they had countless clips of video to go to for coaches or for players, but they didn't have one for Cole. They didn't have one ready. It was kind of like a scramble on the coverage I was watching. So that's it's a great story. Now, if it's anybody else but Bill Belichick, what are we saying right now?
Stupid pick.
That's a crazy, idiotic pick.
Yeah.
But in Bill we trust.
Yes.
Because he's won with six Super Bowls.
Yeah. So. Took a ninth round pick for a quarterback at one time, wasn't it? Some guy.
Just married a supermodel or something.
Couldn't throw the ball. what's your most awkward moment in a press box or at a sporting event?
Oof.
It's got to be somebody who didn't like you didn't like them.
Oh, there's
and you had to ride the elevator together or something like that.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of people that didn't like me. well, one random one, you mentioned elevator, being covering a Titans game and being in the elevator with Al Del Greco after he had missed a kick against the Ravens.
Oh, awkward.
It was just so odd because they were kind of protecting him. And it was just me, him, two other sports information people, and me. And I felt like, gosh, you could just feel the gravitas, the weight in this little elevator. I would say that's definitely one of them, a little bit random.
You don't go over and go, how you doing?
Yeah,
you don't say anything.
Boy, you really shanked that one, didn't you?
My favorite.
Are you really good at golf as they say you are?
another elevator story, and this is my favorite one, because I am a Cowboys fan, and I put all fandom aside when I cover a team, but I am deep down a Cowboys fan. So as part of the Cotton Bowl coverage, they said, why don't you do a story on Jason Witten, who won the Bob Lilly Award as the best former Tennessee tight end. He won the Bob Lilly Award, which is named after the former Dallas Cowboy defensive lineman, which basically means you're the best citizen on the team. He won it more than Bob Lilly did.
Oh my gosh.
So they wanted me to do a story on that. So I did it. We're about to get on the elevator, and Washington scores. They were playing Washington at Old Texas Stadium. Washington scores. Daniel Snyder gets in the elevator, and he is cheering. He's pumped up. And he didn't know I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't wear anything. I'm working.
Yeah.
So, and I wouldn't say anything to him anyway. But the owner of the Redskins, Daniel Snyder, is all fired up. We get down the elevator. We walk out together through the tunnel. About that time, Drew Bledsoe throws a touchdown pass, and whatever year that Tennessee was in the Cotton Bowl, I can't remember which year, but the Cowboys end up winning, and we're standing right next to each other. And I was like, if I ever wanted to be a fan, this would be the moment.
That would be a great day, right?
But I didn't do it. I was like, I want to be a professional here. So, but yeah, that was.
They have no cheering in the press box sign still.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty standard stuff.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. When I worked for the student radio station, which I think you did as well, right? WTK. Shout out to those guys, Benny and all them. But I didn't know that rule specifically, so I got a credential, managed to get my wife a ticket. She was my wife at the time, and we went to the 1997 SEC championship game, and we weren't aware of the no cheering policy, and we're promptly told about that.
Go Balls, go Balls.
But I wasn't really even working, so I thought it was okay, but I quickly learned that that wasn't the way to go.
Well, there's a learning curve for everybody. Ever covered golf?
No.
Never did?
No, but it's funny you ask, because I was reading last night about Rick Riley, and I haven't read the book that he did on Donald Trump and golf, but I don't know.
I read his Who's Your Caddy? I read that. It's a good book.
Yeah, he's a great writer.
Especially the chapter on John Daly. If you pick up the book and you can only read one chapter, read the chapter on John Daly. It's bizarre, a world. If you think John Daly lived in a different world, he did.
I hear he likes to party.
Yeah, and other things.
Yeah. I have one Rick Riley story if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, in 2000, we're going way back when, I actually was at that small AM station and just moved over to then WNOX, which was the flagship station for the Ball Network. So I went from the small AM station. As of January, I'm suddenly working for the flagship station and covering Tennessee, and who happens to be in the Super Bowl that year? It's the Tennessee Titans. So we did the show live from there, which was phenomenal. I mean, just one after another, Joe Namath, just guys coming up, and they've got products they want to push. So it's not hard to get interviews with them.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's much harder now. But I remember being at the Super Bowl, and Rick Riley was there the week before. And Rick Tellender, who was with the Chicago Sun-Times, was there, and they knew each other. And I'm just standing there, didn't know anything, and talking to them, and they say, let's go to dinner. And I didn't think they meant me. And so let's go. And he just pats me right on the chest, and I was like, okay, we go to dinner at this Italian restaurant. I did not have an expense card at the time. And I was looking, because I just started this new job, coming off the low-paying job. And I'm looking to see if I've got enough money to be able to pay for my part of the tab. Turns out, he picked up the tab. But he was the nicest guy in the world. Was really,
good story.
Really down to earth.
Good story. He's a great writer.
Phenomenal.
Great writer. Let's talk a little NIL, name, image, likeness. You think it's always going to be the dirty little secret about what players are paid?
You mean, do you?
Like it is now. It's don't mention, no, don't ask, don't tell.
So are you saying that at some point they'll have to tell?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
You know, well, I guess I wouldn't go up to someone randomly and ask them about their business unless I had an interest in working with them or something. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing, I guess, as an individual to go to them and say, what do you charge to play quarterback at Tennessee? You know, he doesn't have to really tell you. So I don't think that that's going to change anytime soon, the disclosure aspect.
We were, based on what we've read, based on what I've read on the internet and reports, the kid that signed, I'm going to call him Nico because I do not want to mispronounce his last name.
Good job.
But I think everybody knows who we're talking about.
Yao Muleva. I've been practicing. Eyal Muleva.
Yeah, it's a.
I don't think I got it right.
It's his name. I mean,
yeah.
I respect it too much to call. Anyway, $8 million 3 years. You know, that's more than Lamont Paris makes as the head coach of the South Carolina basketball team now.
Is that right?
He signed a 3-year contract, $2.3 million a year. Now, does that when I figured that out, that shocked me. And I don't know if it should or if it shouldn't. A lot of people may shrug, big deal. He means more to Tennessee than Lamont Paris means to South Carolina, maybe.
Let me play devil's advocate on that. Because I think we fundamentally agree that you'd rather have a great coach than a great player. Mm-hmm. But given the money, and you're a businessman, but given the money, would you rather, if you knew he was going to be elite, would you rather have an elite quarterback for 3 years or an elite basketball coach in a football conference? I could make that, if it's a Peyton Manning type of program changer, and that's what Peyton Manning was.
So I don't know how to answer that. I really don't. But I'd have to ponder that longer than time allows right now. But I just thought that that was, are we going to get to the point where are we going to see the guys from one day, are we going to see Randy Boyd up there with the Spry guys and the quarterback from Memphis announcing that we just signed James Jones to a 3-year, $10 million deal to quarterback at Tennessee, and we're going to put the hat on him like they do at the draft? Or you think, are we going to head that way? Is it going to get like that? Because look how the NFL draft, you watch, if you watch any of it, it's a fiasco. It's more than an event now. It's, you've got all kinds of people announcing draft picks now. Look at the signing day with all the young men and young ladies up there with the different hats. You know, then the one kid throwing it away, putting one on.
Yeah.
And you think we'll get to that?
I'm going to give you an honest answer. I don't know. Because what's happened in college football over the past year, I don't think anybody could have predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So to predict what's going forward another year with a president that's stepping out, Mark Emmert, I have zero idea what's going to happen.
To that, do we need an NCAA?
I think you have one right now, and it's in Birmingham, Alabama. It's called the SEC office.
Okay.
I think that's where you are. Mm-hmm. And eventually there's going to be a break off. I would say within the next 3 to 5 years at the most, there's going to be a break off in another division entirely.
Mega conference.
Yeah, I think you'll have 25, 32 teams
mm-hmm.
in there.
Then I'll go to maybe a tournament format.
I think you'll probably see that. I don't know that you'll get up to 12 or 16, which some people have talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But
could you imagine the money though, David, if they did it like Division II does it, 16-team playoff?
Well, the money would be great, but would you want to see, based off what we have seen in the semifinal games, would you want to see two SEC teams basically beat the brains out of the other team?
Right, right.
So you get that semifinal game that's kind of flat, two semifinal games. So does that water down your product? I don't know. If you're in a mega conference, do you support those other teams a little bit better? Ultimately, I believe the reason the SEC is better is because they have more talent in the Southeast that want to play football. That the SEC, those teams have more talent in this area that want to play football, that are passionate about it.
There's no doubt.
So I don't think that's going to change.
There's no doubt about that. Lante Taylor went number 49 yesterday to the Saints.
I like the pick.
First Tennessee, yeah.
It's good for him.
I think he's the fifth Vol on the Saints roster.
Yeah, they like the Vols for sure. And despite Tennessee's troubles in college ball, they've had some guys like Alvin Kamara that's gone on and had great careers.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've had some guys come through. I like Taylor. I don't love Taylor. I don't know that he necessarily has the burst that you would like out of a cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
But he's long. I think he's a borderline starter type guy.
Yeah.
Could he be better? Sure.
They might make him better.
Yeah.
Sure. You go to the right team that has, or you hire the right nutritionist, you do all those things, you hire the right speed training guy,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure he's done to some extent, but now it kind of ratchets up a notch.
Yeah, I think they've got a different level person on these pro teams. Chris Landry. You asked him a great question on the last episode of Chalk Talk. The over-under for Tennessee, and you made it 8.5. You're a great handicapper. And Chris said 7. He took the under and said 7 and gave a lot of caveats. Of course, that's what they all do.
Right.
And if this happens, blah, blah, blah. It could be 8, but if this happens, it's 7. What do you think? And let's say the over-under for you is 7.5. Mm-hmm.
I would take the over if you're going to put it at 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit surprised he went with 7,
mm-hmm.
to be honest with you. I think Tennessee's a good enough team.
Did I hear him right that he thought that Tennessee would lose the first two games to Ball State and Pitt? Maybe I heard him wrong.
No, I don't think he said that. I think he looked at the way I recall the conversation is there's a couple of guaranteed, well, you say guaranteed, no game's guaranteed, but a couple of guaranteed losses on there when you've got Alabama and Georgia. Mm-hmm. And then you got a bunch of games that could go either way.
Yeah.
So you'd have to have several of those games break your way to get to, mm-hmm. say, 9 or 10 wins.
Yeah.
Which I think is shooting a little bit high. But if you're going to put it 7.5, I'll take 8 all day.
All right. The last football question, then we're going to get into pork belly.
Oh, yeah.
You can get to hang out with us.
Oh, yeah.
And watch pork belly. So hang on, everybody. I know everybody wanted to, everybody loving this. They're loving UT football talk, but we're going to get to something really important in a minute, pork belly.
I'm down with pork belly.
How loud will the roar be or boos be on October the 22nd when Nico comes in and mops up against Tennessee Martin?
It'll be loud.
Think it'll be
one. Yeah, depending on what happens, and I've seen this kind of up close, Steve. And this is my fear for a guy like Nico. I covered Jonathan Crompton. Mm-hmm. It was the first story I wrote actually for the Knoxville News Sentinel. They sent me to his town in Waynesville, North Carolina, and I wrote a big takeout feature on him. And if you recall, he wasn't as highly ranked as Nico, but he was a five-star guy. Mm-hmm. And I saw the pressure that was on him and what it did to the family. Now, they were closer to Knoxville. Maybe that makes a difference since Nico's not. But I fear for that with some of these guys getting so much hype. What if it doesn't go well initially? Do you go into a shell? Do you get a little nervous? You know, what happens to you?
Does the monetary pressure outweigh where your family lives? That could be the great equalizer.
Yeah, and just
that could bring you, that could bring you right up to Dixie Junction, man. $8 million when you're getting paid.
Well, and you know, well, and you used to, there used to be football recruiting fans that also like college football, and they knew all the commitments. But when you start talking about a potential $8 million for 3 years, and he's got a name like Nico, and he's that highly rated. Suddenly, casual fans that, did you hear about that five-star guy that got $8 million? Yeah. Guys, you know, people that wouldn't have known who Nico was.
They know now.
They know who he is, mm-hmm. because of the coverage.
A little bit bigger deal than when the Cade brothers signed the T-shirt deal a couple years ago when this first came out. You know what I mean? It's just, yep. a little bit bigger than your name on a T-shirt.
Yep. They, I was looking through my phone, actually looking for Cooper Mays at one point, who might make an appearance at some point on Chalk Talk, mm-hmm. and I found where Kevin Mays, his dad, had sent me a picture of that T-shirt, and he said the first NIL deal at Tennessee.
Yeah.
It was spread the word.
It sure was. Okay. It sure was. The most important question today, and this will be the last one for Dave Hooker, what's your favorite barbecue rub, Dave?
Oh, there's no question. Can I hold it up right here?
Yeah, grab it. Is it there? Yeah, there it is.
No question. Right here.
Butcher Barbecue.
Awesome. I've gone through it. It's replaced basically every other thing I use. I was a big Tabasco guy.
Uh-huh.
Don't use salt, don't use Tabasco. I'm going through it left and right. Love it.
Dave Hooker, it's been a pleasure being with you here. Thanks for coming in. Let's do this. Let's try to do this about once every other month. Get updates from you on the Tennessee, especially as we get closer to the season. And we'll get updates, and we'll be the place where you can tune in for barbecue talk, and every other month some football and Tennessee talk, and we'll talk about Alabama
tailgating
and tailgating talk. Yeah, I like that real. I like that a whole lot. Dave, come on around here. We're going to show you. We're going to let you join us here on the
coming around your way.
Yeah, you can look over our shoulders.